Hello there and welcome to the A to D talk show, where we talk about controversial issues and deliberate on them. We believe that the world is like a coin and it is best to see both sides of it. So come on, join us as we agree to disagree.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning everyone. People who are live and who are listening from the podcast, this is Agree to Disagree, A to D Talk Show. Once again, I hope you're having a wonderful week and a wonderful weekend. Today, we are talking about, should public prayer be banned in schools? And this is a very important topic because we want to know, we are going to distinguish the purpose of school, which is to teach, from the activities of religion, which is also to teach. So we have, I have a guest, Daniel. And just put in context of what we are going to be talking about, I graduated from Covenant University, a very religious school. I mean, very, very religious school. And Daniel graduated from Bangkok University, a very religious school. So we are coming from two aspects of religion and we are coming from two different experiences of religious schools where we prayed every day and, you know, so we are going to be speaking on this. Daniel, once again, I welcome you to A to D. How are you doing, Daniel?
Good evening, Kelechi, and thank you for coming on to the show. I am doing fine. I'm doing okay.
I can see.
Hope you're doing well, too.
Yes, I am. So, Daniel, right? When we speak on, first, across the world, mixed reactions are abound on the concept of conducting public prayers in schools across various levels of education. Some parties oppose the notion of offering prayers in educational institutions, while some advocate for this religious practice. Although some countries permit this practice, others categorically have implemented policies to prohibit this practice. Controversies arise as to whether the implementation of policies against public prayer in school is an impediment to religious freedom. Now, the first question I have for you, Daniel, is, should public prayers be banned in school?
Okay, should public prayers be banned in school? In private schools, depending on who owns it. That's it, depending on who owns it. And in public schools, I want to be on the side of yes.
Okay.
Is there a reason why
you are saying for private schools, whoever owns it, but the question is more like, if you have control of making laws, or if you're the owner of a private institution, or you're a government official who can implement or who can sponsor the law for public school, for prayers in public schools and private schools, what stance are you going to take?
I mean, well, okay, that's, how should I put it? The thing is, how the system treats a private school and a public school is quite different. Because I'm a teacher at a private school, so I understand the dichotomy. So a private school exists because, you know, apart from the, you know, private sector, you know, also being put in business and the market, it's also that, you know, somebody wants to teach certain values, you understand, that they don't trust the public schools to be able to teach.
Okay.
That is why private schools exist. So a public school is made by the government to offer education to the masses. Let me just put it that way. Right. And we have this thing called the division of, or the separation of government and religion. And it has to boil down to every factor of the government, which also is the public school, you know. So that's why I said for public schools, I'll be on the side of yes. And for private school, it depends on who owns it.
Okay, so for public schools, why would it be on the side of public prayers being open to, so you're on the side of, why would it be open for public schools to be banned in, or for public prayers to be banned in public schools?
Yes, I'm on the side of for it to be banned in public schools. It's majorly because, first and foremost, like I said before, you know, the separation of government, of state and religion, you understand, like state and church, we need to keep that, it's very, very important. I think it's very, very important. Then at the same time, it's public schools are general, way too general. You know, you can have a Muslim child there, Christian child, Buddhist child, and a lot of religions. You know, children who don't believe, who come from atheist families that don't really believe in anything. So it creates a kind of, it creates a lot of questions like, okay, so what prayers exactly are to be offered? Which religion should we cater to more? You understand? And here in Nigeria, we tend to cater mostly to the Christian religion when it comes to public prayers, because, you know, for major reasons. But, and it was so in the US too for a couple of years where, you know, public prayers was mostly the Christian way. But now that we have other religions that are very, very widespread, very, very wide known, it's like, if you say let's cater to Christianity, Muslims will create an uproar. If you say let's cater to Muslims, to Islam rather, Christians will create an uproar. If you say let's cater to both, and then, you know, the Buddhist comes and be like, where is my own space? You understand? And we have this talk of safe space and everything. So it creates a lot of trouble. It creates a lot of trouble, and it kind of brings chaos, an unneeded set of chaos to the school system itself.
Okay, thank you. So what do you think of a system that tries to accommodate all the forms of religion? Now, for example, in Nigeria here, we just have two major religions, which is Islam and Christianity, right? So what do you think of a system that accepts public prayer, but then it's going to be in form, in that there's going to be a very good balance between two of them? Now, like, I had an experience one particular time when I went to do my youth service call in Ocean State. When they want to start a ceremony, Christians pray, Muslims pray. So Christians pray, everybody bow their heads and pray and say, everybody says amen. The Muslims come, they pray, and everybody says amen. So what do you think of such systems?
Such systems run under the assumption that, first and foremost, there are only two religions that exist in the entire world, and every other religion is just a fantasy. And they also run under the assumption that
I'm talking from the Nigerian demographics.
Yeah, I'm speaking from a Nigerian demographic too. Like, we have other religions aside from Christianity and Islam in Nigeria. You know, we have Ogun worshippers, we have Shango worshippers, we have traditional worshippers, you understand? But we don't acknowledge them. Yeah. We know they exist, but we don't acknowledge them. And that's the thing the system also does. And the system also runs on another assumption that there are not factions or denominations in these two religions themselves. You understand? Okay, you want to pray the Christian prayer, right? Okay, which one? Redeem, CAC, Jehovah Witness, Catholic, which one are you going to do? As for instance, in the school I work at, we have Friday's fellowship, and, you know, the Muslims are, they go to pray Jumat somewhere, and then, you know, the Christians are downstairs. But then we had a student that was Jehovah Witness, and he wouldn't join any, because that's the Jehovah Witness thing. Now, we are not many. Now, imagine that in the hundreds, in the thousands. You understand? So, yeah, it's not noticeable when there are not a lot of people participating in this, but it's noticeable when there are a lot of people. Let's say there are 1,000 Jehovah Witness students. You understand? There are 500 CACs. There are 200 Celestials. You understand? Yeah. The Celestials obviously don't pray the same way CACs will pray. CACs don't pray the same way Catholics will pray. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's still easier, you know, to, you know, just join everybody together and say, you know, it's just one day. Yeah. But over time, you start to notice the division. And yeah, you start to notice the division.
I agree with you. I actually agree with you. And just to put it out clearly, I'm not in support of, I'm in support of banning prayers in schools. I mean, So I'm in support of that. But the question a lot of parents have, and this question, I believe this is one of the questions that drive parents to put their children, their world in private schools in Nigeria here, because they believe, oh, it's a church school, oh, it was funded by a church. So I believe my child is going to be taught more about the faith. I believe that he's going to be inculcated with faith principles or Christian principles. So therefore, let my child go to this school, because what I teach him at home is what I could also teach him, right? And then you get other people saying, see, man, like, if you look at the Western universities where religion is not so much of a big deal, and you see people who are very moral, very disciplined, But again, you tend to see also radical liberalism. People who just because of the thing is they leave a very conservative home, a very Christ is all, I mean, Bible, Christocentric home, and they go to these schools where there are no religion gatherings or religion activities are not very paramount, and then they begin to, I can say derail or begin to show their true color, right? So, because it's one of the two things. It's one of the two things, honestly, because I went to Cornell University, and it was a Cornell University that I was an atheist. Cornell University like made me question a lot of things. So my question to you is how do you think parents should be confident in taking their children to schools where they are not, where public prayers are not allowed, and still have a bit of confidence that their child would carry on these faith-based principles with them, or won't be inflamed?
Okay, I understand the question. I'm actually quite happy you asked it. And there are a couple of perspectives I'm going to use to address this. Yeah. So first off, there's a reason why, like I said, there's a reason why private schools exist. Yeah. If parents want their children, you know, to be taught the religious values that they ascribe by, that they teach at home, and they want it to continue in their place of learning, yeah, private schools are your answer. You know, we have Christians who build private schools, churches who build private schools, mosques who build private schools, Muslims who build private schools, and they teach the religious, you know, doctrines, or at least they try to, or we assume they do, you know, to these children. You know, and the parents very feel safe. It's your money, it's your child, it's your responsibility, you understand? And if you are okay with sending your child to a school where prayer is not a thing, you know, it's your decision in the end. But then there's another side to this where it might not be a very, very popular opinion, but it's my belief that most parents have assumed that school gives them the excuse of the daily responsibility of raising their child.
I agree with you.
So it's like schools are meant to teach you chemistry, art, English, mathematics. It is, even the CRS taught in school isn't necessarily Bible doctrine. Like, you understand? It's more in line with theology, kind of something, you know, just history, you know, and that doesn't really foster belief because, you know, you don't get to actually be taught the word of God or pray in class or anything like that. So the values that are taught really are taught anywhere, you know, kindness, honesty, you can find that being taught anywhere, or at least we can assume it's being taught anywhere, you know, so like, the Bible says, bring up your child in the way of the Lord, or the way that he's supposed to go, and he shall continue henceforth in it. It is the parent's duty, first and foremost, to teach that child of the Christian doctrine or the Islamic doctrine or whatever religious doctrine, you understand? And also how to live in a world that questions that doctrine. But, you know, most parents automatically assume he's in a Christian school, she's in a Christian school, she's in a Muslim school, it's problem solved.
So then when they leave the school, when they leave that Christian school, they just go wild.
And like, it unravels. It unravels. I was in Babcock, like you mentioned, and you know, we are expected to go to church Wednesday evening. We have house fellowship or hostel fellowship or something. Yeah. We have it in the evening. We have, you know, weekday service in the Wednesday evenings and Friday evenings. Then we have Saturday morning service and Saturday evening service. And we're expected to go, we sign our books, you understand? We sign our attendance and all these things. And all these things were just forcing you to Adventist school. So which means they teach the Seventh-day Adventist way. So if you come from Celestial, you are coming to something else entirely. So even that Christian school wasn't necessarily teaching them the doctrine they grew up with. And, you know, there's this sense of force, you know, enslavement that we grew up with to our parents' religion, you understand? Most of us never get to explore, and we're never taught to explore the religion itself. We're never taught to, you know, have questions raised and be answered. We're never taught prayer as a personal communication with God. We are taught as something you should do. by fire by force, and we never see the reason to do it.
Yeah.
By fire by force.
I lost my train of thought.
Okay, yes. You know, we never see the reasons for why we should go to church. We never see the reasons for why we should pray and all these things. So when we get to somewhere where that the eagle eyes of our parents are not watching us, yeah, you know, we feel more liberal. We see freedom, and we take it.
Yeah.
But then when you send them to the Christian school, like Babcock, like Covenant, you know, we fall back into that habit of, I'm forced to go to church again.
Yeah.
But this one is like, if you don't go, you're finished.
So you see, this is one of the reasons why, even with what you said, I don't want to talk about my school. My school, we literally went to church almost every day, apart from maybe Friday.
Mm.
But one thing that I noticed is people, sorry to say this, but they made the religion become very abhorrent. People didn't really want to associate themselves with Christianity. But again, I don't want to focus this on Christianity. Now, I have a question for you because I want us to wrap this up in the next 10 minutes. Next 10 minutes. So, when you are picking out, you know, these universities and you are looking at, we are focused a little bit more on universities, right? Oh, so we're looking at all these schools and we focused a little bit more on universities. And for me, whatever you're not able to teach a child before you enter university, I mean, I'm sorry, leave it there. I mean,
it's 50-50.
It's 50-50, right? So, but let's bring it a little bit down to the secondary school, to the high school. This is where these people are very, I believe, they're embryonic. I believe that this is where they pick their personalities. This is where they pick their values. This is where they are forming stage. And you need to be very, very careful about it. So, do you think that in a school that doesn't really look at religious faith, do you think we should send our children to those kind of schools? Now, let me explain what I'm saying here. One of my colleagues in the office went looking for a high school, or high school, they call it in all the schools here in Lagos, but looking for a secondary school in Lagos here to, you know, get her child on board on the school. So he went to this school, great school. He has the headquarters in, I think, in the UK and America. Expensive school, but they had a lot of, you know, things, practicals. And this woman asked, okay, how about the morals? And the man said, see, morality is the parents' business. That they're not going to stop the child from exploring his or her sexuality. Like that is what parents should do. They are not going to do it. They're not going to tell their child any, they won't give you any moral. That as long as what their child is doing doesn't really affect other people, they are good with it. And the woman was like, what? So the woman was like, what? Like, are you serious? And the girl was like, yeah. And that is how she said, in the name of God, I am not taking you to this school. So in that embryonic state, that is for high school, what advice do you give to parents and people who are going to become parents?
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry, you're not answering the third question. But I'm sorry.
Okay. Wow. Okay. If there's one problem that teachers face and they are unable to solve, is the act of being forced to become a parent when they don't even have children.
True.
You know, parents bring their words to school and automatically expect us to become parents to that child.
Yeah.
And there's something I tell my students. I say, see, the moment the bell rings as closing time, you are no longer my property. You are no longer my duty. There's nothing that concerns you concern me. You know, like, I tell them immediately, I am not your father or your mother, your uncle or your auntie. I'm my responsibility from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Once it's 5 p.m., nothing concerns me and you. So if I see you outside, you are smoking, the Lord is thy muscle. Your parent, and you know, it sounds like when I tell this to people, people are like, but you're the teacher, and I'm like, yes, I'm the teacher, but like, it's like a 9-to-5 job. Once the job is over, it is over, and then I begin the next day. So, my advice to parents is that first and foremost, don't force other people to become parents to your own child.
True.
It does not matter whether it's a Christian. You know, we hear of only boys' school and then, you know, range of homosexuality goes on, or only girls' school, and there are Christian schools. There are way too many things to cater to. And that, you know, like, teachers are handling so much, their own job, going to classes, watching
students. They possibly have kids.
They possibly have kids, have worries of their own life, have extra businesses, that there's just too much you expect them to cater to. And it is impossible. Like, teachers, I don't think I've, except if you're just a bad person all around, most teachers will teach, you know, what is wrong, right and wrong, according to what they believe, you understand? Even just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are a, like, you know. So it's they will teach your child, they will teach the class in general, what is right and wrong. Sure, teachers have favorites and they draw closer, that's fine.
True.
But it's like, you as a parent, learn more about your religion. Start answering your child's questions. There's something I always teach my students, and that is the act of asking why.
Yeah.
Learn to ask why.
Yeah.
I teach them, if I don't know the answer, come, let us go and find the answer together. Like, I do that with my students, because you are going to go out into a world that will not let you live in a bubble any longer.
True.
And parents don't realize this. True. There's something I told my father, yeah, that why is it that, I asked him that, why is it that parents don't realize that children will grow up? So they are not prepared. Like, they don't realize that children will grow up. So, like, they don't prepare children for having their views questioned. They don't, you know, like, I remember growing up in church, and I had a lot of questions, and I never got answers. You know, all I ever heard, there was a time, do you know the answer I got? Because the Bible says so. And my answer, and my retort was, that doesn't seem like an answer at all.
Even sometimes you asking those questions seem insulting to them.
Exactly. Like, adults generally in Africa think once somebody younger asks questions, it's an insult. But at the same time, they want you to ask questions.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what exactly do you want us to do?
So you see, the thing is, we have a cultural problem in this country, and one thing I do not support is the whole religion playing a very major role in everything we do, politics, social. No, I don't. So you see, Africanism is almost like is embedded in religion, and when we go to all these schools in our families, and we begin to work for big corporations, I notice that they start meeting without praying, and they get things done. they get things done. You see, in the beginning of the year, and like in the place where I work, the man comes in. The man is a Christian. There's that Muslim. There are people that don't believe in God. There's even a girl. There's even a lady in my office that's a Scientologist. They open the budget. They work with their brains, and they get things done without praying. Right? Everybody's personal faith. And yes, my office is very understanding that by. You see that Friday, 2 o'clock, I think I can't remember the time, but see that time, Muslims are allowed to go and pray. I mean, they're allowed to do whatever they want to do. This is them, right? This is their personal faith. We don't study between it. And when we have our own time, like during Ash Wednesday and during the time of Lent, you see, 6 p.m., don't expect Catholics so again, I get that, right? So when I was growing up, and I asked my parents, my mom, a very, very important question, and you know, she just gave me an answer that seemed, the question wasn't for her to give me an answer, it's just a question for her to know that I'm maverick, right? I asked her, what is your problem with tattoos? And she said, no, you know, that you cannot spoil what God does. And I'm like, okay, fine. So she now takes me to Leviticus, right? And that's that's what I wanted her to do. She took me to Leviticus, and she now read that particular verse that talks about tattoo. I'm like, okay, mommy, keep reading. Just keep reading, right? And she was like, no, but I said, keep reading. And she read the verse that talks about tattoos. And the next verse, immediately the next verse talks about shaving your hair. I'm like, okay, mom, explain this to me. The Bible says not for us not to um, put tattoos on my on our skins. I agree, but he also said we shouldn't shave. So which one are you standing for? And you know, she goes, you know, and I'm like, don't worry, I wasn't asking you so that you give me an answer. So the point is, we need, parents need to do, and personal opinion again, then I'll tell you, I am a very strong advocate for homeschooling. I feel like before my child goes to high school, I would put him at home, I would learn mathematics and some other things just to teach him or her so that he is able to get these things right. And again, there are some other things that happen, and I'm going to give another scenario, then I'll give you one or 2 minutes to just sort of wrap this up. A man sends his child to school, and the school he sends his child to was Cornell University. This guy became a dog. He had no regard for morality outside Christianity. He got suspended. His father for 1 year. His father told him, you know what? You're not staying in my house for 1 year. He sent his son to military barrack in Kaduna and told him that he should stay there for 1 year under military training.
Wow.
The boy thought his father was joking, but I mean, the man was serious. Took him there. Daniel, I tell you, when this boy came back, he was as puritanical as Paul the Apostle. And
Jesus.
I'm telling you, this place, they don't pray. I mean, this is just you wake up by 4:30, you have to dress your bed. I mean, the guy was so disciplined that was the changing point in his life. He didn't end up coming back to Cornell University at the end of the day, but I think he went abroad because he overimpressed his dad because of that experience. And he see how he was able to get discipline, how he was able to get his mind straight in a, in quotes, secular environment. Than in a place where they are sending you to church and telling you that if you don't go to church, that you don't write exams. So, I mean, I don't want us to, there's a lot of things to talk about here. So then
there's... I kind of get your point. Like, there's a over-mystification of going to church and prayer. You know, like, prayer, most of all, is a very personal and internal thing. So public prayers don't really do much, really. Except if everybody is praying in unity, which most of the time public prayers is not about that. You know, and I'm not even an advocate for assemblies in school, like all these everyday assembly we do in secondary school. It's run, most of the time in schools, it's run like a church or you're in the mosque. And I'm like, this is not helping anybody. But hey, nobody may get school. One thing I'll say to that story you said is that most parents, like I said, think school excuses them from the responsibility of the daily raising of their child. So they automatically think, oh, he's going to a Christian school, automatic discipline. No, it doesn't happen. Discipline is not a miracle. It is taught. Discipline is learned. It is taught. And if it is not taught, your child will not have it. Simple.
Simple and short.
See, there's a reason why we beat children in Africa. And then in some houses, they never touch their child. And their child is so disciplined and everything. And there are some of us here in Nigeria that we know, if we were not beaten, Jesus. We know what will become.
I know.
If we were not beaten, my mother will carry a morugo, all this spatula, two in hand like this. Bah, bah. If we're not, we know what will become. So, like, parents need to demystify the job church and, you know, public prayer are supposed to do in raising their child and start taking up the responsibility they're supposed to. They've excused themselves enough from it.
Yeah. So, thank you very much, Daniel. Like I said, I wanted to keep this 30 minutes and it's like this 31. So, thank you very much, Daniel. Thank you very much, you all that are listening. Daniel, I hope to have you back on the show so we can talk more deeply about, or we can talk deeply about this particular subject matter, but maybe in a different particular topic. But thank you, everyone, here for listening. I know IDK, you came in a bit late, but we'll have the podcast up hopefully by the end of tomorrow. And for you all that are listening, thank you. Have a blessed week. Have a blessed weekend. And Daniel, I appreciate you for coming up to my show.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was honored. Thank you.